Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Today's episode is episode 36. Let's get into the personal news first. I've been looking at chainsaw sawmills for making lumber out of logs, and I was thinking I can make one, so I was looking on YouTube and found some plans online and kind of just got my own basic idea how to do it, and I started building one the other day. And I pretty much got it mostly done. I just got to do a little bit of welding at work and stuff on my break, and then I'll have myself a chainsaw mill and I can start cutting some nice oak lumber for at my house. And when I get it built, I'll go out and try it and I'll let you guys know how it worked out and maybe do a show on the advantages and disadvantages and stuff like that. But part of what I wanted to talk about today was something I'll bring up here. I was asked the other day, you know, that people kind of know that I'm into preparedness and stuff and that I do this show, and they wanted to know exactly how this show would fit in with preparedness. They just couldn't see the connection. And I told them, well, how can't you see the connection? Being prepared for things isn't just only about being prepared and having enough food, band-aids, and bullets to keep yourself alive if times get tough. You gotta have a good skill set in order to make sure everything goes smoothly. You know, sometimes having the equipment and the tools to make a fire isn't any good if you don't know how to make a fire. So that's one of the skills that I kind of taught about here in the beginning and something that people need to learn. And also another way that my site ties into preparedness is the saving money aspect. If you want to save a lot of money by doing a lot of stuff for yourself, you can put your money back into getting prepared even better. Or you can squirrel away that cash for a rainy day, maybe someday when you need it. So now back to the question, how does my podcast tie into preparedness? I think it's very much so tied into preparedness. Some of the topics that I talked about might not directly tie into preparedness, but you know, you got to have a little variety in life. You can't just talk about certain things like that all the time. And I like to do a lot of projects and stuff, so they all aren't directly related to preparedness. And although preparedness is one of my passions, it is not the driving passion in my life. Kind of building stuff is, I guess. I've always been a person that's been a do-it-yourselfer. I've always fixed stuff myself and not taken it anywhere. And that's just been me my whole life, and I just never really realized until I got older that that's not the way that the world works. I got into an argument about it about a week ago with someone, and they told me that you can't be good at everything, and I told them that I've never failed at anything. And the reason I said that was because even if I'm trying, I don't see that as a failure. I view that as a learning experience. And the guy came back with, I bet you can't throw a football like Aaron Rodgers, and I told him, well, I guess what, I've never tried, so I couldn't tell you if I could or not. And who knows, maybe I could have, but football just wasn't one of the things in my life that I was worried about. I've always directed my energies other places. So I always try not to view things as failure. I try to view them as learning experiences that just didn't work out. A guy at work put up a thing on Facebook and said he was kind of pissed that what he had planned to do for his heating ducts didn't work out in his house. But he ended up wasting $15. I told him, you didn't waste $15. You just learned how not to do it. Now you just got to figure out how to do it. But now I guess I'm off of where I started a little bit. But that's just some main points I want to get out there. And I do believe that my podcast is very much so in the preparedness field because, like I said, you can have all the stuff you need, but if you don't know how to use it, what good is it? And everything I talk about on my website would help you out even if nothing was going to happen. Just living your normal everyday life, you can learn some things on here and incorporate them into your life to make your life a little bit better. But anyways, just like I was saying before, the greatest tool and the best resources that you have is going to be the knowledge in between your ears. That's going to be the best help to you if times ever do get tough. So you might be asking yourself why all of a sudden I kind of started talking about this on my podcast. Well, I was just reading an article on the Doomsday Prepper TV show, and it just kind of got me to thinking how they can portray people as being nuts and stuff like that. And I'd like to assure everybody I'm not a nut. I think with that TV show, they're going to take all the good that can come out of it and probably not portray it in a very good light. And I don't have the National Geographic channel, so I won't get to watch the shows, but I did see the previews from it, and I saw the pilot episode from last year. And it's going to be like any other reality TV show where they kind of ham it up a little bit. Take the American Chopper, where the dad said that he always hammed up yelling at his son some on the TV for everybody so that, you know, the show was more interesting. And look at what it ended up doing. It just showed Case the Bad. I mean, who would want to work for a guy like that? Here he was hamming it up for the TV, and all he did was make himself look like an asshat. And then reading that article, they were talking about how people are ready for the end of the world and this and that, and they show some very extreme cases of people doing the preparedness things. But in all honesty, most people that are really preppers, you'd walk right by them on the street and never know that they were into the type of thing, because, you know, they're pretty low profile. The other part of the article that kind of pisses me off is they're talking about how bad it's going to be at the end of the world, and then it's fueled by the internet. And to some extent that might be true, but there are the people out there that are just trying to make a buck and really getting people scared, and then there are people like over at the Survival Podcast that are doing a very excellent job in trying to help people get prepared without scaring them into buying a whole bunch of freeze-dried food and stuff. And speaking of people that like to scare people into buying stuff, oh my God, I listen to Alex Jones every once in a while, and he always has the commercial for the Survival Seed Bank. And then if you listen to the ad, it's like, these seeds are not genetically modified in any way. Well, no crap, dipshit. Nobody genetically modified tomatoes and stuff yet. Most plants aren't genetically modified. It's only the really big staple food crops that are genetically modified. And basically in the ad, they're just saying that to you to scare you to think that it's the only place where you're going to get any pure seed. And they also play the ad off to make you think that a hybrid is a GMO food. And it's not. It's just a cross of two plants. I had a guy I worked with that listened to Alex Jones all the time, and he swore up and down that hybrids were genetically modified. And I finally got tired of arguing with him. But what I want to do right now is I want to read you a little bit from the article on a Doomsday Preppers TV show, and I'll read some excerpts out of the article and tell you what I think about what they're saying. So the article starts out with, "It's better to be safe than sorry, which is what FEMA guidelines recommend, stockpiling your pantry with 3 days worth of food in case of natural disaster. Meanwhile, Paul Range and Gloria Hastel have enough in store to feed 22 people for 15 years, as well as enough guns, bullets, and bug-out vehicles to wage a small war. The couple occupies 9 steel shipping containers arranged in a castle formation outside Floresville, Texas. A system of windmills and solar panels power the compound, and human body waste is used to generate methane, which serves as cooking fuel. And it's all because they're worried because Earth's magnetic poles might switch." Now, my thoughts on this are, the producers were probably really happy when they found out there was someone with a bunch of shipping containers arranged in a castle formation that they could go out and film and paint the people like they were a bunch of nutcase whack jobs. Because that's certainly what I took out of the first paragraph of the article I just read. And, you know, they probably aren't really all that worried about it. I mean, in preparedness, it is a different type of lifestyle, and it has all degrees just like everything else. There are people that are just into it a little bit, and there are people that are into it a great deal. And it might not be the whole end of the world thing that's motivated them into doing it. It might be the fact that, you know, they want to be green, and shipping containers were really cheap, and they got solar, and, you know, I can't say for sure because I really don't know these people, but it's just something that there's always two sides of the story, and they're only going to show you the side that they want you to believe. But if there was any kind of positive message in that first paragraph I read you out of that article, I don't really see that I read one. It's more or less saying that, hey, since the government says you only need 3 days worth of food and water, that's what you should have. And these people are nuts because they're doing more. So now I'm going to read you a little bit more out of the second paragraph. After it gives the information about when the show is going to be on and all that, it says, "The show takes viewers on a shocking tour of modern-day apocalypse paranoia from Range and Haswell and their steel fortress to a Californian who has trained himself to survive off garden weeds in preparation for a major earthquake." And I'm not entirely sure if it's him, but I do believe that it's Christopher Nidges. And that guy is pretty well known in the survival community, which kind of perplexes me why he would do a show like that. But then again, I can't really say. Maybe they are portraying people in a positive light. I haven't seen the show, and I'm going to have to look around on the internet and see if I can find it, and then maybe I can weigh in a lot more on the things I'm saying, but for now, from what I'm reading in this article, it just doesn't sound good. And moving on in the article, it kind of talks about how it was only highlighting a few cases of apocalypticism, and then it goes on to say that there is a historic high point for the fear that the world's going to come to an end, and pretty much that it's being fueled by the internet, which is something that I can see. There's a lot of information exchanging hands on the internet, and a lot of people's ideas get posted up there and other stuff. You know, I mean, it's pretty common that if you put enough people in a room and they get to talk, and they'll come up with all kinds of subjects to talk about. So it's not really that much of a stretch that the internet, there are all kinds of stuff to really listen to and watch and all kinds of stuff that people think. So yeah, it's going to be fueled a little bit by that. So the article goes on to say, indeed, preppers Range and Hastwell have come to believe the magnetic pole reversal will cause a sudden shift in the continents, triggering enormous earthquakes and rapid climate change. They've learned just enough to inspire a total lifestyle transformation. Despite the scientific census that the chance of magnetic pole reversal happening in their lifetime is vanishingly small. And I'm sure that the people actually realize that it is pretty small, but I could almost pretty much guarantee that they probably really ain't as worried about it as the TV show makes it out to seem. They're probably just regular preppers and have themselves a kick-ass bug-out location, and then these people come and film them and kind of made them look like they were whack jobs. But that's what TV people are paid to do, is to sensationalize things and make them look more exciting. I guarantee you that they probably aren't very exciting if you watch somebody just sit there and stock their pantry, or maybe they're out there hanging up a solar panel or something. If they showed you every aspect of prepping, it would be pretty dull. So they have to find something, and they have to accentuate that so that everybody sees how exciting and neat and kind of strange it is. It's just like watching one of them survival shows on TV. If they actually went out and showed you all of the footage from the guy surviving, it probably wouldn't be very fun. You know, the guy's walking through the woods. 3 hours of him walking through the woods. How much fun would that be? So they edit out all the parts that are interesting, and they use all the parts that are interesting, and then they edit them and make it look however they want to do it, and they do this for their own benefit, not the person that's on the TV show. And they talk about a few of the other things in the show, like others profile in the show fear total financial collapse, an electromagnetic pulse called by solar flare taking down the power grid, a terrorist attacks, and so on. It says people have come to apocalypticism for different reasons, but once they're there, they share a set of assumptions that defines the group. First, they believe there is something dreadfully wrong with the world, and it's not likely to be fixed. The second part is they believe an imminent change is coming. So my first thoughts to this paragraph are, there are things dreadfully wrong with this world. I mean, where does this guy live? Under a rock? I mean, there are things that should be fixed and aren't fixed, and nobody's gonna fix them. For God's sakes, I mean, look at our national debt, for instance. That's not likely it's going to be fixed, but hey, who am I? I'm just a poor little welder that lives in northeast Wisconsin with his own podcast, so what the heck do I have to say about it, right? But if you look at some of the other things in the article, like the financial collapse, that's probably going to happen. I mean, it's kind of happening now, if you really think about it. And then the solar flare taking down the power grid, maybe not. Maybe there won't be a solar flare, but there was a dude changing a fuse in Arizona and took out half of California. I mean, really, for God's sakes, it doesn't take much to get rid of our power grid. I think we've established that. And then, of course, they have to throw in a little bit about terrorist attacks. And I really don't want to go into about terrorist attacks, so I'm not going to, because that'll be a whole nother podcast in itself of me ranting about that. And then the guy who they interviewed for this article talks about how he estimates that half the world's population believes in some sort of apocalyptic theory. You know, Christians, Jews, Muslims all have the belief in return of God and all that. And I think that if people really did have that fear, and that many people did have the fear of the world coming to an end in some way, Maybe we would all do something about it, so I don't know. I think his estimate is pretty high, but, you know, I'm, like I said back before, I'm just a dumb little welder from Crivitz, Wisconsin. And then at the end of the article, the guy who they interviewed here says that he personally believes that apocalyptics are correct in recognizing their grave threats in the world, but they're misguided as to what forms these will take. You don't have to expect an apocalypse, he said. Look outside. The environment is being degraded right now. Instead of standing outside looking up for the comet that's going to be obliterate the Earth, look around you. And actually, I do agree with his comment there, because, you know, there are a lot of things that you have to worry about other than the end of the world. But look at what we're doing to our environment. Look at what we're doing when we strip mine a whole dang field, you know? I mean, look at what we do. And we do need to fix that, or we're going to have a really sad world in another 50 years. And if we don't look around and kind of take care of business for us, we should be taking care of business for our kids, for God's sakes. I don't think that when men figured out how to use tools to make things like the Industrial Revolution, I don't think they realized what they were going to do. And we still don't realize what we're doing today. But boy, I don't believe that I just sat here and ranted about a damn article I read on the internet for, well, 16 minutes now. I was planning on doing a topic today, but I guess that I pretty much wasted all my time for my podcast bitching about an article that someone else wrote. But I don't know, I guess you got to do that every once in a while. That way someone can see what my actual thoughts and stuff are on things, instead of me just sitting here telling you how to do something like change your oil or stuff like that. Because I do believe that we need to be prepared for things, and that this show helps you get prepared. Because if you have stuff and you don't know how to use it, it isn't going to do you any good. So I guess it's okay for me to rant every once in a while. Another thing is, I actually recorded part of this podcast last week sometime, so I guess I'm going to keep just adding to the news and stuff that we now do have a new website. I finally put it up this weekend, got everything all paid for, and it's just kind of basically started out, and I've been posting some of the first podcasts I did on there to kind of get practice on how to use the publishing software and all that. So if you want to go visit our new site, it's at LostSkillsPodcast.com. And for now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up all my old posts and everything on that website, and I'm still going to use the Podbean site for the posts I do now. And I eventually, when I do catch up, I'm going to discontinue the use of the Podbean site, and LostSkillsPodcast.com will be our new website, and then I'm going to put up some pages. And I do want to put up like a members project page and stuff like that. I've been kind of looking at how to do it. I'm still kind of learning. I never built a website before. So it's going to be a learning process for me. So if everybody will please bear with me, there will probably be parts that aren't built yet and stuff like that. But I am going to have the podcast right on the main page. So all you have to do is click on it. And I have an RSS feed and all that. But I please do hope that everybody will switch over to the new site and bear with me and doing this, trying to get the transition done. I know I could just do it a lot faster through my web host and have them switch everything over, but I do want to get a little practice in doing this so that when the time comes for me to switch to the regular web page, I have an idea what's going on. So it'll be a little slow at first, but I do have until June with the Podbean site. So once that's gone, I'll have to set up a new feed in iTunes and all that, and I'll work on getting that all set up right now so that we can just have dual feeds for a little while and then everybody can just delete the old feed. I just wanted to get that out there so that everybody knows what's going on and everything, so one day when they're listening to the podcast, you don't go, oh crap, what happened? Did the guy quit or what? I guess if you don't like this podcast today, I'm sorry, and I didn't really intend to go on a rant for the whole podcast, but I will say it's quite a bit different than what I usually do. So I'd just like to say out there to any new listeners that are listening, because you found this because it says the Doomsday Preppers or something like that, please go listen to my other episodes and kind of learn what we're all about before you pass any kind of judgment on me. And like I said, I haven't seen the show. I'm just going by the various things I've read on the internet and stuff like that, and partly that article that I read to you. So I think I'll end today's show right here, and I'd just like to say thanks everyone for listening and kind of bearing with me. And with that, this is Jeff Radke, and until next time, keep your stick on the ice.